And today we're learning from a breeding manager, Jessica Ndamulele, who has a BSc in Animal Science from the University of Venda, which landed her a job in farming. Now, Ndamulele is the only black female inspector of Boran cattle in the country. I'll repeat that because it's powerful and names, it needs a bomb. Ndamulele is the only black female inspector of Boran cattle in the country. And at 26 years old, she was appointed as a stud manager by President Ramaphosa. She's also responsible for all programs and organizing their annual auction. And her breeding program includes Nguni, Bonsmara, Boran, Ankole, and Wagyu as well. Yo. And with that said, and this round of applause, yeah. I'd like to please welcome our guest on the line today, breeding manager Jessica Ndamulele. Welcome, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Please do say that again. Whoa, say that again, please. Jessica.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. I'm here with you.
There we go. We were struggling to hear you there. All right. Jessica, let's get straight into it. What is the difference between a commercial and stud animal?
Okay, with our commercial animals, commercial cattle are cattle that fail the societal inspection and do not meet the minimum requirement of that specific breed. And then with the stud are the ones that are registered with a specific society, and then they have been inspected and passed inspection. So that is the difference of the two. So commercial cannot be sold under the stud auction, but only the stud cattle can be sold under our stud auction.
Jessica, it's Lindy here. I mean, my follow-up question was about that, right? About whether a commercial animal could be registered like a stud. But tell us why this is not possible.
Okay, it is not possible because the animals that need to be registered for a specific breed, they need to meet the breed minimum requirements. So the commercial ones, you might find that in most cases, they are not sired by a stud breed. So there are a lot of requirements for an animal to be regarded as a stud animal. So the one needs to pass an inspection. We have a screening that is done by our inspectors all over the country for each breed. So one needs to meet the requirements for their animals to be regarded as stud animals.
Yeah, Jessica, we've seen reports of bulls being sold for R1 million plus. Hey. What we want to understand now is what guides the pricing of a bull?
Okay, with specific breed, it is about the facie tests that are done to test if the bulls are gaining a specific weight on a daily rate. For example, we usually have our facie at the bull center in Irene. So if a bull does well at the test, then you know that bull is going to sell for R1 million or R500,000. So we are guided by the average daily gains of the animal. You don't want an animal that eats every day and does not gain weight. So we run those tests to see which bull is performing better. And then from then, you know you have a potential bull.
Okay. And talking of that, how early are you actually able to say that as a livestock farmer to see that the potential of this bull is going to be something like R500,000 or R1 million? Like it's just been born. How quickly can you start saying or being able to tell that this is a potentially R1 million bull that you are raising?
Okay. What happens is that we also look at the pedigree. For instance, you'll have a cow of high value and good figures, and then you know that this cow will give you a good calf that will stand a chance to be a potential future head sire.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is the test that we run. And also when you look at your head, they say a stud bull is born. From that, you can tell that this little calf or this bull calf got good potential. But I usually consider the indexes, like when we were winning, to say, okay, at winning, I'm able to see that this bull have good potential because of its indexes. Yeah. So if you're an index person, you can tell with the figures that we have a stud bull here. We have a future head sire here that is going to sell for R500,000 or almost R1 million.
And is there a difference? Because I know that every time I've posted that there's a bull at the bull ring that was sold for R1.3 million, people want to know, now that you've got this bull, do you raise it differently? Do you keep it differently compared to any other bull? Does it have massages before it goes to sleep? You know, that type of thing.
Okay, we usually keep our bulls. We have a bull that is worth R500,000.
Yeah.
We keep him with the rest of the bulls, but then because it is valuable, you need to take extra care of the specific bull because at some instances, you buy a bull for ₦500,000, and then everyone in the country is telling you they want to buy semen from you. So you need to take care of that bull, because now you're going to make good money out of that bull, like the bull that we bought James. And we have a lot of people who want to buy semen, who want to buy his progeny, and then his progeny sells for a good price because he's a record bull, and he's one of the best bull in the country. So you usually get your money back because you have a lot of people who are interested in that specific bull.
Yes.
So you've got to keep it separately and take care of it, but it's not necessary. But because now we're taking that bull every now and then for the semen market, we need to take care of him,
Okay.
But otherwise, it's not necessary.
When you're taking care of him differently, what do you mean? You have to give him extra feed? What type of extra care would he necessarily need to maintain his condition, of course, and be able to be tabbed as regularly as you need to do for semen?
Okay, what we usually do is that we give them extra vitamin for him, because now you're tapping him, and then he's going to lose weight, he's going to lose condition. So you need to give him supplements, extra care with your multivitamins, your multivitamins. So that's what we just give the bull, and then make sure that it has enough good grass and enough production milk.
Yes. Now let's talk about the different breeds. I know for a fact that you sell your Ankole for quite an impressive amount of money. Your Boran sell for quite an impressive amount of money. Your Bonsmara, you've got a lot of studs in your herd of the different type of makes of cattle. What are the breeds that generally sell for more than others?
Okay, in our cases, our Boran and Ankole sell for good money.
Mm.
So we get a lot of money out of our Ankole, because I think it's simply because of the demand. That's why we're getting a lot of money from the Ankole. The Ankole is new in the country, and then we don't have a lot of Ankole. So for us, for people to be able to, for all our breeders to be able to acquire the Ankole when we have such a small number, then it then affect the price. Our prices go high because now demand is high. Everyone wants an Ankole, but not because of many other reasons. But then with the Boran, we have I can say we have one of the best lines in the county of Boran.
Mm.
So our Boran also sells well, but the price of a breed is determined by the demand.
Yes.
Not because of many other factors, but it's because of the demand, because we have different farmers who prefer different breeds.
Absolutely.
And then those breeds will sell, So it's just a breed. You just have to take a breed that adapts well in your area.
Mm. Just for those that are listening and are not sure why her Ankole sell for a lot of money, it's because the president was the first person to bring Ankole into the country, and Jessica is the person that is in charge of those Ankole. So that is why she's talking to us about this today. Now, how does a livestock farmer start working on improving their herd to try and compete in this million rand high-end market? Because, I mean, I go to the bull ring all the time. I know for a fact that I can't afford any of the biddings that are going to be happening. I can't even afford the three-in-one, you know, where there's a cow and a calf, and the cow is pregnant. I can't even afford that. And there was one that sold for 550,000 the other time. So how does a livestock farmer like myself, who's starting out, start working on improving their herd so that maybe in 10 years' time I'll be sitting on the same chair next to you and Patrice and the president?
Okay, what happens is that I can say every farmer or whoever wants to do farming, they must invest in a good quality bull. Because when we're traveling around, we see that people don't invest in bulls because they think they're expensive. But then a good quality bull is the foundation of each and every herd.
Yeah.
So one needs to consider getting a quality bull, and then also breed with the breed, also farm with a breed that is well adapted to their area. For instance, a person farming in other province and a person farming in Bad Plus cannot farm with the same cattle. We need hardy animals.
Yes.
So you need to know and consider your environment, where you're farming, and then also the grazing capacity of the animals that you want, because you cannot have a small farm and want to farm with 1,000 animals.
Mm.
So I would say invest in a good breed. And then there's a saying that an animal or livestock farmer is a grass farmer. So you need to start with the grass in your farm?
Yes.
Do I have good quality grass to accommodate the number of cattle that I want?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have the right to breed for, this area where I'm farming?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have the right bulls? Do I have the right cows? And then I've seen in our locals where people keep a cow that keeps 2 years and
mm-hmm.
they still want you to breed with that cow. So whatever that is not working and your farm, just get rid of it. No matter how good the cow looks, if she's not giving you a calf each and every year, just get rid of that calf. And then that's where I think you're looking for good results.
Mm.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us there. That's a breeding manager, Jessica Ndamulelo, schooling us this afternoon here on Down to Earth and Metro FM. Very, very cool, man. I really, really enjoyed that one. And that's how you're bowing out with Down to Earth, eh? Because
yes.
That was the final installment of Down to Earth as the show does come to an end tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Jeez, next week.
Tomorrow, Dad.
I want to invoice for another week.
No.
As it comes to an end tomorrow. So thank you so much. And on that note, my Ange, because we appreciate you so much and you bring this amazing idea to us, like as part of the show, and it's become like such a major part of the show that people talk about whenever they discuss the King Suite.